When I point to you like that, that means that you should start talking and introduce the show.
It's hard for me because when you point to me like that, it turns me on. It's hard for me to really concentrate on anything.
Should I just nod at you?
No, that's even worse. Are you kidding?
That turns you
on? Are you
on?
Kidding? It does. Now, what do you predict about this topic? You think it's going to...
My God, you're getting right to it.
Well, you think it's going to, like, branch off into some interesting discussions?
Man, our writers work pretty hard on the foreplay. You don't want to use the foreplay at all?
Well, I'm looking at the graph that you gave me about the topic. But no, I'll do the foreplay. How's your week? Blah, blah, blah. How's your week? Well, it was good.
Congratulations on your new TV show.
Thanks, brother.
You got green-lighted.
Green-lit, yes, green-lit.
Yep.
I think the term is I've been gaslighted and then I've been greenlit.
And you got this super hot new lead actor, Matthew Gubler.
Yeah, I think he's a big star. He's my retirement plan.
Oh my God, he's so hot. He's the number 46 top ranked male model in the world. Did you
he
know
is?
That? Yeah, he is. Number 46
in the world.
Yeah, higher than Fabio.
Wait, who's number 1?
I don't
know. Is he available to do a CBS series?
I don't know.
Whoever number one is?
Don't know. Sorry. So you're going to be missing a whole lot of shows.
Well, I'm going to be what they call working for a living.
In Toronto.
Yeah, look that up. Working for a living. You've heard that phrase.
On the CBS.
You've heard people use that phrase.
It means nothing to me.
The Tiffany Network.
On the CBS television show, Einstein, the movie lot in Toronto. So if you're in Toronto, drop by.
Yeah.
Andy's going to be up there quite a bit.
Yeah, I will be. But don't drop by.
No, drop by. They have a huge spread. They throw out half their food. You might as well take part.
Dropping by is optional. That's why I love Canada.
Oh, yeah. You can... send me back all those Canada is not for sale hats and t-shirts.
Oh, sure.
I want some of those.
There's a good conversation starter. Thanksgiving. Wearing those t-shirts. Hey, speaking of t-shirts, what's happening with our marathon t-shirt?
Being printed today.
It is?
Yeah. And yeah, you have your work cut out for you.
I have to customize each one.
You have 400 t-shirts that you have to customize. 400.
I have to draw 400 people?
Yes, you do.
Listeners?
Yep.
Luckily, I've been to the record fair. I know what they look like.
Yeah. So how long do you think it'll take to do each one?
Each t-shirt?
Yeah, a minute.
Wait, if it's a minute for each one and it's 400 minutes, how long is that?
Oh, my God.
Is that like 8 days?
No, it's like 12 hours. 10 to 12 hours.
Will you kill me when I'm on the third or fourth hour?
No, I'll kill you when you're done. Actually, it will kill you.
If you loved me, you'd kill me.
You will die.
No, that's great. Thanks to all our listeners who played blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
I'm ordering all the fabric pens. I'm figuring you're going to need probably a new fabric pen every half hour, every 45 minutes or so. And we're going to make a little movie documentary about it, about you customizing the 400 shirts.
Yeah, well, your commercial instincts have never been stronger, Ken. That's money in the bank. A big bald Jew drawing on t-shirts.
Well,
there you go.
No, it's the...
Yeah, reserve that Monty Hall now.
Yeah.
Tickets on sale now. The big bald Jew... With the Sharpie in his hand.
It's got to be marketed right.
Yeah, It's got to be marketed right. That's right, Ken.
It's going to be, it's going to be kind of like they shoot horses, don't they? It's going to be, they shoot big balding Jews, don't they?
You mean when I get so sick of it all?
Yeah.
When I'm just burnt
it's
out?
Not,
after
it's,
t- after shirt number 83?
Yeah, it's going to be the hilarious banter that you keep up as you're doing it.
Yeah, that sounds like a winner.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
That sounds like a winner.
What's your
favorite documentary? The Salesman? Don't Look Back? Big Bald Jew with a Sharpie? Cast your votes now.
Yeah, it's between Big Bald Jew with a Sharpie and Eat the Document.
What's that, Neil Young?
No, that's another Bob Dylan.
Oh, it is?
It's the horrible one that he made himself.
As opposed to the 18 horrible documentaries Neil Young has made. He churns them out every 18 months, doesn't he?
He doesn't make bad documentaries. He makes bad feature films.
He makes bad career choices.
His wife makes bad documentaries.
Does she?
Yeah, like the current one, Coastal, is supposed to be terrible.
Can't wait. Yeah. Will you go with me to see Coastal?
No.
You're not going to see Coastal?
No.
But you're going to self-finance the Big Bald Jew and the Sharpie.
There's no Sharpies in Coastal. It's just Neil Young lounging around a tour bus without any Sharpies at all. He's not decorating.
Wait,
anything.
Is it really Neil Young between gigs?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's just him doing a California tour, just sitting on the tour bus.
How much of it is him on stage?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. Well, hey, you and I saw him on stage.
That's right.
How was that?
It was fun until the PA broke 12 times.
Yeah. I don't remember anything about it.
Okay, so that's the foreplay. Thank you, foreplay writers.
Did we do the Neil Young on tour?
We did.
Did we?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
It went better last time. Don't beat yourself up over it. You have a TV show to worry about.
I have lots of other reasons to beat myself up. Can I go home now?
No.
Oh, I remember what we did last week. If nobody called, I get to go home.
That's right. Matthew Gubler, the star of Andy's new CBS television show, Einstein.
Yeah.
Not only the 46th top male model in the world.
Yeah.
He's also...
Yeah.
And you're wondering why Andy hired him for this movie.
Okay, go ahead.
For this TV show.
I'm curious myself.
He's the voice of Simon in all three Chipmunks movies.
The best chipmunk of the three chipmunks.
No way!
Who do you like?
Alvin or Theodore? They're both better than Simon. Simon's the worst one. Simon was the bookish one. Alvin's the prankster. Theodore is the pragmatist, the one in the middle.
Well, this is it. This is the worst we've ever been. We're out. Topics. Out of conversation.
No, we haven't even gotten into our topic.
I'll give you $100 right now if you say something interesting. That's what I thought.
Children of Men was a science fiction movie about the future.
Yeah.
That was set in 2027.
You mean in 2 years?
Coming right up on it.
And tell me, just remind me of the plot. That's where there's no men, children being born?
There's no, the human race has become infertile.
There's no babies at all being born.
Right.
And that's 2 years away, according to that movie.
Yeah.
Paradise, just 2 years away. Hang on, kids. Michael, just hang on, guys. 24 months, and our nightmare will be over.
And Michael Caine is the last happy man on earth.
He is?
Yeah. You never saw that movie?
I did. I liked it. I liked there were oners. There were long takes.
Oh.
In action scenes.
Oners. Yes. Oners. Very good.
Yeah. I liked that movie.
Me too.
I liked it more than you. How much did you like it? 1 to 10?
No, I liked it like 10 or 11. I think it's the most accurate science fiction movie.
Did you ever see, I'm forgetting the name of it, it's about the Big Bald Jew and the T-shirts?
I made that.
Yeah, right.
I directed that. Did I see it?
Where'd you get all the T-shirts? Where'd you get all those Sharpies? What's he like in real life?
I ordered them. I ordered the Sharpies and the plastic bags. Because you're going to have to put each one in a plastic bag, you know.
Shut up.
So we're doing a history of the world tonight.
As told by?
By science fiction movies.
Okay. So tell us, call us up and tell us a science fiction movie that you know what year it was set. And then we can, and you tell us how accurate. Were any of them at all accurate? That's my question. Was 2001 even close to accurate?
Well,
the Pan Am Space Station shuttle.
You know.
Yeah, you know. Go ahead, Ken. You know. Go ahead.
Jeff Bezos just sent Katy Perry up into space.
2001, Ken.
Yeah.
2001, that was 24 years ago.
No, you're right. That didn't happen back then. It just happened now.
It wasn't even close. It was an embarrassment.
There was a...
How many monoliths did you stumble upon 20-some years ago?
How big do they have to be?
No, they're bigger than... I know what you're thinking. You stepped on a Lego. That's different, Ken.
It's a small monolith.
No, that's different, Ken. These are big, giant monoliths that are signals out to some alien civilization.
You're sizist. I think a monolith can be any kind of rectangle. And another feature of 2001 A Space Oddity was HAL, the sentient killer robot.
Was that even close in 2001? Was there anything close to it?
No.
Shut up, Stanley Kubrick, wherever you are. Shut up. That's our message to him, right?
All right, so
you don't know what the hell you're talking about, Arthur C. Clarke.
We have added 2001 to our list.
Hey, what if I told you for a fact that Arthur C. Clarke lived in Thailand just for the sole purpose of buggering young boys?
What if you told me that?
Yes. Would that change your opinion of 2001?
It would change my opinion.
Would you like it better?
Arthur C. Clarke.
Would it?
Yeah.
Well, think about that as you go to bed tonight. Think about Arthur C. Clarke.
Okay. Well, you know the band The New Pornographers, right?
Yes.
Well, one of the members of The New Pornographers turned out to be a pornographer. He was kicked out of the band because he had been photographing little boys in bathrooms without their consent or knowledge.
Really?
Yeah. So what's the band going to do now?
I don't know.
They have to change their name.
They will have to.
Yeah, they can't call themselves The New Pornographers anymore.
How about that band, the Happy Happy Shoplifters?
What happened?
You wouldn't believe it if I told you.
Oh, my God. Was one of them caught shoplifting?
No, one of them was caught happy.
Oh, well, that's not a big deal.
All right. So, wait, Clockwork Orange. Guess when that movie was set. Not when it was made. We all know when it was made, 1971.
Okay.
Guess when it was set.
2020.
1995. Wait, was there anything? Wait, now that seems like it was semi-plausible, 1995. There was nothing in that movie that was outrageous, right?
Not really.
He went to some kind of mind control seminar camp, right?
Yeah, they did.
They propped his eyes open.
Yeah, they propped his eyes open and did brainwashing.
Yeah, okay, but that's not...
That
but
happens.
There were videotapes back then, weren't there?
Yeah, I mean, that does happen. People get...
In 1995, did it happen?
Re-educated and brainwashed.
Did people have giant dildos in their living room?
No, there you go. Those had not been invented yet.
In 1995?
Yeah, no giant dildos.
My grandfather was working on one. But you're right. He wasn't completed until 1998.
All right.
Where's Grandpa? He's downstairs, Whitlin. You know him. Whitlin Giant Dildos.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, you're on the air.
Well, if you look at movies around 1970, you know.
Yeah.
The first Earth Day or so, especially ones that were made for TV, they all predicted Earth would soon be unlivable.
I know. It was the population bomb, a lot of them. Well, but now, what year did they predict there'd be food riots?
Well, I only remember one that specified a year.
Which one?
Very specific.
Tell me.
Year. 1985.
Oh, sure. That was the peak of the population bomb scare.
What, was that the movie? The movie was called 1985?
It was called 1985. It was done in the style of Channel 5 News.
And what year
did... By Channel 5
News. And 1985, the movie came out in 1970?
I think it was 70, yeah.
Okay.
And what were they predicting? Food riots?
They were predicting every bit of word you can't say here.
And then...
You can imagine, basically, the stuff would be unlivable, including things like, You couldn't even get out of town because the traffic was so tied up.
Bad traffic. Okay.
Well, anyway, they predicted bad traffic.
Bad traffic.
But, you know, that's a good lesson for any kids listening. People have been predicting doomsday for my entire life, you know?
Oh, going back further than that.
Yeah. So don't let these idiots scare you, kids, on Twitter. On X, I guess, formerly called Twitter. Hey, by the way, I have that in common with X.
What?
I was formerly called Twitter.
Oh, you better take that call. Hey, caller, we have to go. Andy's hotline is ringing. Take the call, Andy. It might be about Einstein. It might be about your new TV show. Go ahead. Take it.
I'm not going to take it.
Why not?
Because.
Oh, man.
Because it's none of your business.
But we want to hear it.
No, it's grown-up business.
No, we want to hear
it. No, it's Men at Work.
Andy.
That's nothing to do with you or your station.
Men at Work is a crappy band.
Men at Work is a great band. That guy was cross-eyed, baby. He wasn't faking it.
Yeah, name one Men at Work tune.
It's hard for me to focus, officer. I'm cross-eyed. You know that one?
I don't know it. Is that one of the early rap songs?
Yeah, I didn't.
Early white rap?
Yeah. Of course I missed my exit. I'm cross-eyed.
Hi, you're on the air.
You know, I used to grow up watching these cartoons.
Right. Jetsons, yes.
The House of the Future.
Right.
Yes. What year were they set in?
Well, I just looked it up. The one I remember was from 1949.
What was the name of it?
It's called House of the Future.
And what, okay, but what year was it set in?
Oh, I see. So it was advertising the 2000s.
There it is. And how did? And how accurate were they?
Zero. For example, you could, with the click of a button, your entire kitchen would be cleaned by a staff of little robots.
Well, that's kind of true.
Yeah, Roombas.
Not robots.
Self-cleaning
houses.
No,
it would wash your dishes. No, you would press a button. The robots would clear the table. They'd clear the dishes. They'd empty the sink. They'd put the food away. They'd wash the windows.
Well, that's pretty. It's not robots. It's undocumented aliens. But it's similar, right?
Tex Avery didn't predict aliens.
This was called House of the Future, Black Cat.
Something like that.
Okay.
Or House of Tomorrow.
House
of Tomorrow. That's a good title. Go. Google, Ken. Google like the wind,
no,
my
I'm,
friend.
I'm typing.
Google faster.
I'm
Google, son.
I'm not Googling. I'm typing.
What are you typing?
I'm making our list.
Oh, God.
You wanted to make
a
list.
Oh, for the love of God. No.
You don't want to make a list?
No, then you'll be disengaged the whole thing.
Fine.
Who cares about our list?
Okay.
I didn't know you were listening when I said that.
You okay.
Well, when did you start listening to me? Tell me, what was the day?
No, it was about 3 weeks ago.
I missed it.
Yeah, sorry.
You're really making a list, timeline?
No, you told me you wanted me to start listening to you.
Oh, no.
I didn't realize it.
Just be part of my show.
Okay.
You're a very important part of the show, Ken.
All right. Done. Thank you, Black Cat.
Thank you.
That was Black Cat.
That was our friend Black Cat. Hey, by the way.
Hey, by the way, I have the hiccups.
Oh.
I need a listener to scare me.
Okay. We're looking for listeners who can give us a quiz over Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Andy's got a new TV show.
Oh, yeah. I'll be missing a few Wednesdays. 201-209-9368. I have the hiccups if you want to try to scare me out of it. And we're also looking for listeners to volunteer to quiz us. What are we looking for, Ken? 10 questions?
Yeah, 10 questions. It takes half an hour.
Yeah, we'll pre-tape it. Contact Ken at...
Ken at WFMU.
Ken at blah, 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 dot blah, blah,
Ken
blah.
At WFMU.org.
Yeah, that's all I
ask. And you can call back whoever was just trying to call.
Oh, yeah, hit redial. It's very important that we talk to you.
Phone number is 201-209-9368.
You mean we had a call, Ken?
We did.
Oh, my God.
We have another call
can
right now.
Can you imagine what it might have been?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Ken, I'd like to ask you a question.
Who's this?
My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Does it matter what his name is, Ken? It matters to you?
Yeah, it does.
You need a handle like that?
Well, I just, want to know if I know him.
Well, now you know his name is Sean. How does that change this call, the trajectory of this call?
Well, I mean, it's gotten him talking, and I can assume that he's not a dog. I think I trust he's now human.
Yeah.
I am.
I have a feeling he's real, that he's not an imposter of some sort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sean. Sean.
Well, I'd like to address the question to you, Ken, because the guy you're talking to is unbearable.
Yeah.
But I just read your Wikipedia page,
uh-huh.
and I'm very concerned about small businesses in New York City. And I know that you've figured out how
Wait a minute. Unbearable. Is he talking about me?
Yeah, well, yeah. He was referring to you, I think.
I was, yes.
Yeah.
Unbearable?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Unbearable. Oh, Sean, what did you mean by unbearable? As
unbearable. The prefix is un, and the second part bearable
right.
means
right. not.
You mean you? Can, you mean you can't even tolerate me? I'm not even saying you don't. Whether you like me or not, that you can't even tolerate listening to me.
Right. Not bearable.
Intolerable would be a
intolerable in small doses or large doses. It doesn't matter. He hates me.
Yeah.
Go on, Sean.
I wouldn't say hate. That's a little strong.
Well, unbearable is very close. But go on, Sean, about the small businesses. You were making a very interesting point.
I noticed the work you've done with licensing, and I happen to know that bars and restaurants pay quite a lot of money to license music that they play for their customers.
Yes, they do.
Have you ever thought, perhaps, that there would be a way to go after those people that charge so much money for them to play innocent, beautiful music for their customers?
Okay. What do you mean? Go after ASCAP?
Just hang up.
BMI and ASCAP.
Up. I just looked up unbearable.
Okay.
I just looked it up.
I'm sorry, Sean.
Yeah, Sean, you're out of here.
Yeah, Andy's poking me to get me to hang up.
I think Sean is unbearable. Well, there. See how you like it. How did that feel, Sean? It stung a little bit, didn't it?
Oh, my God. Sean's, you really got to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Sorry, Sean. But
that's one of the worst things you could call somebody, Sean.
Unbearable?
Yeah.
Well, Sean, to answer your question now.
I don't want you to answer his question. It's my show. Who cares about his question?
No. That's my answer.
Yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah. Nothing much we can do to interfere with ASCAP.
Who, nobody cares.
BMI.
Nobody, yeah. Believe me, Kent. I mean, literally, nobody cares.
Sean cares. Sean cares too much.
Yeah, Sean cares too much. That's his one fault. If I have one negative thing to say about Sean, it's that. He cares too much.
That's what he says during those job interviews.
Yeah.
When people ask him, what's your biggest fault, Sean?
Yeah, I care too much. Oh, and also, every other month I fly down to Mexico and hunt homeless people for sport. Those are my two failings.
In which order?
Well, I guess the homeless people is more problematic.
Yeah.
I care too much about the homeless people. I shoot for sport. That's my impression of Sean. I think he's unbearable. Hey, I know that laugh.
Oh, my gosh. It's Beth.
I know that laugh.
It's your wife, Beth.
I married that laugh.
You're unbearable.
You like that?
Honey? Hey, she's confirming. Your own wife is confirming that you are unbearable.
You know, the odds are now 50-50 that when I get home after the show, Sean will be there as a dinner guest.
Wait a minute. That could be a radio show. Is Andy unbearable? Yes, for one. No, for like,
I can hear a lot of what you're saying, honey. I can make out a lot of the words.
He didn't even know you chomped gum.
Honey, Shaw was meeting me for the first time. It was like Blink. He was making an instantaneous opinion.
Speaking of gum, Beth, I discovered a new thing about Andy tonight.
What?
I asked him if I could have some gum. He gave me a pack of his gum, and when I opened it up, I discovered that one of the gum containers had pre-chewed gum in it.
Well, the gum cost, I save it, the gum cost 6 cents, Ken.
He puts gum under the table on our second date. He was putting gum under the table in our restaurant in the city.
Oh, yeah. You want me to put the gum on the table?
And was that so he
no,
could chew it later?
No, I didn't want you not to smush it under a table. Our dining room set has gum under the table.
Well, yeah, but does he put it there so he can take it out again later and chew it some more?
I don't know.
That's
but
clearly...
Guys, that's how the unbearable roll. Guys, when you're unbearable, that's what you do on your second date.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Why don't you just go marry Sean, honey?
No, I like my unbearable husband. I do. I really
Thank you.
Hey,
Thank you,
I thought of a way to... Are you still... You still have the hiccup?
Well, no. No, I don't. Sean scared me out of him.
Oh, you just have to be called unbearable.
I guess so.
I don't have to scare you anymore.
No,
that's good.
You scare me plenty.
Hey, you know what? A minute work fits in Andy and my Venn diagram. Like, he really does like minute work. You can play that for him anytime, and he won't complain.
Oh, he couldn't even name a single song.
Well, who can...
From the land down under.
Who can it be?
No, he knows them.
Who can it be now?
Who can that be knocking at my door?
Yeah, and Colin, what's his name, the lead singer? Cross-eyed
Colin. Cross-eyed
Colin?
Cross-eyed Colin, yeah. Yeah, Cross-eyed Colin. If Cross-eyed Colin offers you a ride home, you say, no thanks, Colin. I'll just call an Uber. That guy's dangerous.
All right. All right. You're the unbearable lightness of being.
Thank you, Beth.
Thanks, Beth.
Thanks, okay, Beth.
Bye-bye. I love you.
I know. Next time I'm necking, making out with my wife, Beth, she's going to call me Sean by accident.
Yeah, Sean is going to be there when you get home tonight. I just texted Beth Sean's phone number.
I'm talking to you, Ken. The other guy's unbearable.
So back to the topic.
Yeah. Oh, we're halfway done.
Yeah, we're looking for science fiction movies that made predictions about the future.
That were either accurate or inaccurate. Here, I'll give you some other
examples.
As long
as that future has passed.
No, guess when Minority Report was set.
Ah.
Not too far in the future.
1999?
No, 2054.
Ah.
So in 20-some years, our lifetime perhaps.
Well, actually.
We'll be predicting crimes. Yeah.
That has kind of come to pass.
Oh, shut up. It has not.
Future crime.
Yeah, how does that work?
And also the computer interface that they use in Minority Report is very, very similar to the Apple...
yeah, that's true.
The Apple headset.
When he's waving his arms in front of the screen. Yeah. Now, how about Soylent Green? Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Where everyone was eating each other?
Right. Soylent Green was people.
Soylent Green was people. Guess when that was set.
The suicide clinics.
That's right. Guess when that was set. Guess what year?
2015?
Oh, you're so close.
Oh, what was it?
2022.
Wow.
Now, was that even close?
Nah.
Nah.
Although they, well, in a way, I mean, it depends what part of it, because...
No.
Well, they did come out with this product called Soylent Green, like 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Well, that must have been the anniversary of the movie.
There was this product called Soylent Green.
Was it made of people?
It was not made of people, but it was like just a gray powder that a lot of software coders and a lot of computer gamers, you know, who never wanted to deal with actually eating. It had protein and vitamins in it.
It was like a protein bar?
Well, it was just like powder, and you just mixed it with water and... drank it.
Now, would you say that's a good marketing idea, calling something Soylent Green, or is it a bad marketing idea?
I would say it must have been good because it did seem to take off. I knew a lot of people who were eating the Soylent Green.
Hey, maybe they'll sell Soylent Green at the concession stand when you show the big bald Jew drawing on T-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to have space food sticks and Tang and Soylent Green.
Guess when RoboCop, the original RoboCop, was set?
That was set in the past.
That's robots guarding the city.
2010.
2043.
Oh, okay. Hey, we have a full switchboard. I think a lot of people want to call you unbearable. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I've been consuming Soylent for most days of the week for breakfast for past 10 years now.
There you go.
Wait, now who makes that? Who manufactures that product?
I believe the company is called Soylent.
And did they get the rights from like MGM from whoever owns the movie?
I don't know exactly what that is, but it actually started as a book, and in the book, Soylent was not made of people.
Oh wait, so the Soylent, the actual product, it's not called Soylent Green. It's just called Soylent?
No, it's just called Soylent.
Okay,
right. But in the book, well, in the movie, there's all different colors of Soylent. You know, it depends on the day of the week.
I see.
Yeah.
Like Wednesday is Soylent Red Day.
Ah. Yeah. Kind of, I never got that. I never really
Thursday
saw that
Soylent
movie.
Yeah, Thursday is Soylent Blue Day.
Is that Charlton Heston?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Wednesday. Did you mention Wednesday? That was red, Soylent Red.
That was my guess.
Yeah. And then Thursday, Soylent Blue.
Oh,
this
and
is fascinating.
Has the actress from I Love You, Alice B. Toklas. What was her name? I can't remember.
Well,
with the body matter. Art.
No one cares. No one cares.
I care.
No.
She was hot.
No one cares. Well, she was hot in 2053.
And
she'll
then she
hot.
Was also in The Stepford Wives.
Oh, you're talking about Catherine Ross?
No, not Catherine Ross. It wasn't Catherine Ross. It wasn't Susan George.
Was it Catherine Ross?
No.
Oh, I know. Susan George.
No, it was not Susan George either. But along those lines.
Because you said she was hot.
Yeah.
So that's Susan George.
No, it was...
you said hot.
Yes.
Now you're going to take that back?
It was another...
Susan George.
It was another actress who is not Susan George
yes.
or Catherine Ross,
yes.
who was also very hot.
What?
And she co-starred with Peter Sellers.
No. You said hot, Susan George. This conversation's over.
I Love You, Alice B. Toklas.
Yeah, that was Susan George.
No.
If she was hot...
Now you're going to make me look it up. So tell us more about Soylent, caller.
No. Let's take another call. No.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, we lost all our callers.
Yeah.
Lee Taylor Young. That was her name.
Oh, yeah. She was hot, but she's not what they call Susan George hot.
No, I think she's beyond Susan George hot.
Shut up. Anybody here seen Straw Dogs?
Which one?
Well, the original Sam Peckinpah.
Oh, yeah. Susan George.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay? Conversation's over.
Yep.
Discussion's over. I win.
You ever see the remake?
No.
Oh, my God. It's great.
It's stupid.
Alexander Skarsgård, spoiler alert, gets killed with a bear trap over his head.
Spoiler alert. Nice. It's stupid. Yeah, let's take the call.
The call's on the air.
I don't think so.
Go ahead.
I don't think so.
I can't believe I got through.
Whoa. Don't sneak up on us like that.
Oh.
Hey, listen to who it is, Ken.
Who is it?
Hi, this is Annie.
Oh, hi, Annie.
It's my wife, Beth.
No, it's Annie.
Oh.
No.
Oh, okay.
But I'm flattered.
I heard a lady giggling. Anybody would have made that mistake. How are you doing, Annie? Where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm calling from Indiana.
Oh, fantastic. And wait, are you a science fiction buff, fan?
Fan, definitely.
And what movie are you, what movie did they, do you remember getting the future right or close to right?
Every dystopian sci-fi movie.
Disco Bean?
Dystopian.
Oh, dystopian. Oh, you think they got it right?
Well, Disco Bean got a lot of things right.
Disco Bean is so overrated. Disco Bean can't even dance.
Well, you're talking about Disco Bean 3 or Disco Bean 1?
Disco Bean the Revenge.
That's Disco Bean 2.
Yeah.
The original
Return of Disco Bean.
The original Disco Bean is on the money. It predicted airport pods.
Annie, this is just a taste, a sample, the tip of the iceberg, the kind of fun we have here at 7 Second Delay. Right, Ken?
It predicted stewardess clowns on commercial air flights.
Annie, what dystopian movie are you referring to in particular?
Oh, all of them.
Don't let those movies scare
None
you, honey.
None in particular.
Yeah, I know. You see these movies, you think the world's coming to an end.
Yeah, I did think about Terminator.
Okay, Terminator. Let's see. Okay, what? Well, Terminator was set in the present, wasn't it?
That's a good question. He comes from the future.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To the present, but then, you know, so it's the future technology that exists in the present.
Annie, you're okay. What do you do for a living?
Oh, I hang out with my kids.
Wait a second.
I hang out with your kids. I haven't seen you around.
Ken, looking at her kids through the bedroom window does not constitute hanging out.
Okay, you're right.
No, I home educate.
Good point.
Oh, you home educate your kids?
What? Well,
you home educate them, really?
Yeah.
Terminator came out in
So there's no chance of them being, I guess if they were bullied, it would be a big problem if you're home educated, right?
Yeah, we do have neighborhood kids, though.
Oh, how many people are in your quote class?
too.
And are you authorized? Are you licensed? Do you have to pass some test in Indiana?
Hell no.
No, there's nothing in Indiana, but I am a licensed teacher.
And how old are your kids?
10 and 8.
But if you're a licensed teacher, isn't it kind of like your kids are cheating?
You mean they're not getting mom, they're getting a real teacher?
Yeah, they're getting a real education from a real teacher.
Do you think your kids are smarter than my kids?
Aren't your kids older?
I mean, when they were 10 and 8, you think your kids are better than my kids?
Oh, my gosh. Probably.
Yeah,
they probably
are.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'd put money on that.
Did yours go to public school?
At 10 and 8, they did, yeah. Yeah, they did.
10 and 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you lived, if you were our neighbor, we'd probably be shipping them off to you.
But outside of school hours, Andy locked them up in that room in his basement.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know about that room.
There was a sink.
They need more than a sink.
Sometimes Ken says there was no sink. There was a sink.
No, I've always acknowledged there was a sink.
Annie, you're okay.
Wasn't always working. So in The Terminator, it's set in 1984.
Right, that's when it was made.
Yeah, but the Terminator...
Where's the future?
Arnold, 2029. He travels from 2029...
Wait, 2029?
Yeah.
You mean 4 years from now?
4 years from now.
Annie,
which
did you know...
Which is entirely possible.
Yeah, right. What, all the robots fighting each other?
Yes, when Skynet...
Skynet,
where?
Yeah. Skynet.
Really, Annie, that's what you would say, entirely possible? Huh, and
oh,
it's interesting. And it's interesting you're not a licensed teacher there. They don't have to give
you... No, she is a licensed teacher.
Oh, huh, it's interesting.
Yeah, so she knows.
Interesting. So you, when your kids ask about what's life going to be like in the next 4 years, you put on Terminator?
Oh, well, they know. Yeah, we listen to Tectonic.
Annie, don't scare your kids. Annie, show your kids Pinocchio.
No.
Annie, show your kids Disney movies. Give your kids hugs.
Oh,
don't scare your
kids. We do
hugs.
We don't do Disney.
Show them Children of Men. That's what I showed my kids.
Your kids have never been to Disney World? Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh,
no.
Take it. Oh, Annie, hang on. Andy's getting a work call. Please take it over the air.
I'm not going to take it over the air.
Oh, my God.
I don't know how to turn my phone off.
Come on, take it over the air. Oh, it's CBS calling.
Ooh, you got to take it.
It's CBS calling. It said CBS in big letters.
You've never met a successful person before, have you? Ken is all a Twitter. Ken is so excited. Ken, it's just a job. It's just a job, Ken. It's like Annie teaching.
But it's a TV
show. Oh, it's no big deal.
It's a TV show with Matthew Goobler.
Yeah, right.
He played Simon in
He's not even in the top 40 male models.
All three Chipmunks movies. He's number 46 top male model. I'm not making that up. I'm not making up that he was...
You couldn't make that up.
He played Simon in all three Chipmunks remakes.
No,
I'm not making that up.
That's the voice of Simon.
Yeah, the voice of Simon. Yes, it was an animated movie. He did the voice work.
Can I go home now?
No.
Wow.
What if Annie allows me to go home? What if Annie says you can go home early?
Yes.
Okay,
well, I don't have
Annie.
That power.
Annie, I'm giving you the power, and Ken has just authorized you.
I have agreed.
Yes, Annie.
Oh, no.
Can I go home early?
Can you go home?
19 minutes.
No.
Annie!
Of course not.
Annie, you work from home. Imagine me. I drove an hour here. I'm an hour from my home.
Poor Annie.
Oh, you're okay. It's only 1 hour.
Exactly.
Annie, you're bordering on unbearable.
No, she's not. I love Annie. You're just angry because Sean called you unbearable.
He didn't even call me unbearable. He just referred to me as unbearable.
As the unbearable person.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you, Ken. You're the other guy's unbearable.
Yeah.
Like it was a fact. He was stipulating it.
Well, you aspire to unbearability. You know you do.
What? Okay, you're a smart guy. You understand human nature. Annie, you understand human nature. Why does Sean upset me so? Why did that get under my skin? I think it was because it was just so flippant. It was so casual.
Well, he didn't even...
He said it as a given. You know, he didn't call me out on it. He wasn't angry.
Right. He turned you into a thing.
It was like the sky is blue, the grass is green. That other guy you're with, Ken, is unbearable.
Right.
He was very confident.
He was. He hurt my feelings. He's like, he doesn't think I have feelings. I have feelings. CBS loves me.
Yeah. I wish you would put the CBS call on the air.
That will never happen. Oh, my God.
Oh, man. I love hearing your calls. In my office.
The surest way to end a career. There's no quicker way, by the way, if you're wondering.
What, to put the CBS
call on
the air?
Yeah, to put a business call, broadcast it.
Well, you don't tell them you're broadcasting.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Annie, you're the best. I'm going to say goodbye.
Have a good night, y'all.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Annie.
Have a good night, y'all. That's how they say goodbye in Indiana.
I wish Annie had been my teacher. You should see the great job she does. I mean, I can't make out what they're saying to each other.
What, her 8 and 10-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just talk gibberish.
Well, I mean, but it looks like she's being very attentive.
Yeah. Kids are idiots. Those kids are idiots.
No, 8 and 10-year-olds are not idiots.
No, I'm talking about 8 and 10-year-olds.
I know. They're not idiots. They're...
Have you ever met an 8 and 10-year-old?
Yeah, they're smart.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Hey, they're man. Smart. 11-year-old.
Oh, that's right. We're talking about science fiction.
11-year-old Nadia.
Yeah.
Has a show landing page on FMU now. She did a show.
Yeah.
And she came up with a show blurb. I had to look it up. I had no idea what she was talking about. She was using such big words and such lingo that I couldn't even make out what she was saying. That's how smart she is.
Yeah. There's another word for that.
What? Which is what?
Well, indecipherable, just a mess, just immature.
But it was decipherable.
You can talk to an 8-month-old, you won't know what they're saying.
No,
That's no sign of intelligence.
I was able to look up what she said, and it existed. It was real. I was just too dumb to know what it was.
Look, I have to look up, when I read James Joyce, when I read Ulysses, I have to look stuff up. You're saying James Joyce was smart? That's what you're saying.
He was a smart.
James Joyce was smart, yeah. Is what you're saying.
Yeah, one of the greatest writers ever, yeah.
Yeah, no one's ever read a book of his. No one's ever finished a book of his. That's
a fact. Of course they have.
No, it's a fact. No one has.
Plenty of people have finished his
book. I'd love to talk to someone that's finished Ulysses or Finnegan's Wake.
I finished it.
Liar.
Yes, he
liar.
Finished it.
Hang up on this liar. Liar.
What's your name again? It's
Dean.
Gene.
I didn't speak yet.
Gene, the guy who finished Finnegan's Wake
Gene,
and Ulysses.
No. I'm a new caller.
Gene the Liar.
Dean the Liar, yes.
Gene.
So the premise is a sci-fi movie that has come to pass or something?
A sci-fi movie that predicted the future with some degree of accuracy.
I don't know if anybody mentioned it yet, but I would say Eternal Sunshine because a lot of people want to forget the past.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind?
Yes, but yes. What year was that set in?
I don't know if it was, I guess early 2000s, but it's...
Well, I mean, people have...
Painful memories.
The premise is very... The premise is clever, and it resonates, but that doesn't mean it's accurate.
Came out 2004.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's accurate, but I think it's becoming more and more accurate.
Why? Oh, you mean with drugs?
As
people get whacked out of their minds? Well, everyone has a desire to forget the past. I mean, I'd love to forget the last 47 minutes of my life.
I don't know about everyone.
No can do.
Does Keith Richards want to forget the past?
No. Hell no.
That's a good point. Thanks, Dean, for calling. Dean makes a good point. Keith Richards doesn't want to forget the past.
No, he
doesn't. Let's take another call. Very good point. You've given us a lot to think about, Dean.
Hi, you're on the air.
We're talking about whether or not Keith Richards would rather forget the past. 201-209-9368.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Ken, Andy, how's it going? It's John Dogg, your former theme song singer.
Oh, hey, John. Hey. Andy, it's John Dogg.
Yeah, great.
You know John Dogg. He did the
He did our theme song. Yeah.
Dinner at Andy's.
That was my favorite theme
that
song.
That was your favorite theme song.
I'm missing that theme song.
Wow, it's great to hear from you, John Dogg.
No, not at all. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I was just wondering. Well, actually, I have to say first, I'm reluctant to interrupt you because you guys are on fire.
Yeah. Who would you say is doing better? Who would you say is less
unbearable? Winning.
Is winning.
You mean like Snap Judgment, like right now?
Yeah.
No, it's like, is it Ken or is it the unbearable one?
If you could turn off one speaker, one microphone, whose microphone would you turn off? If the building was on fire, who, and you could save one of us?
Look, I got a hedge. I can't really.
That's right.
I can't really.
That's
say
right.
That.
That's right. You would.
It's
save
a bit like
me.
You know the way you refuse to put the CBS call on the air.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, well, what I was going to say was I was a little mixed up. I thought your premise was sci-fi movies that got it wrong.
Sure.
But you're looking for the one that got it right.
No, that's what I thought it was too.
It so doesn't matter. It so doesn't matter. What sci-fi movie got it wrong?
We're agreed there. Agreed.
Yeah, agreed.
It doesn't matter, I mean.
What sci-fi movie were you thinking of?
Well, like, basically every sci-fi movie, about 99% of them get it wrong because they all have us, like, you know, in some kind of post-apocalyptic nightmare, like surrounded by vampires or something like the Omega Man or something. But, like, most of them get it wrong. But I would say if you want a recent one that got it right or is kind of maybe about to, you know, Ex Machina? Do you know that one?
Yes, I've seen that one. That's the robot. That's the
Alicia Vikander.
Yeah, she's
right.
She's no Susan George.
As she, yeah, and hey. She.
It's a developer. It's a robot developer. An isolated house.
She
right?
She manipulates a human to get to escape. She fakes being attracted to a human being so that she can escape the compound.
Yeah, exactly. It's a whole, you know, meditation on AI. Kind of, it's manipulation all the way down, like traditional programming.
Right. I'm sorry to interrupt.
A little bit like catfishing.
Yeah, it's catfishing.
Catfishing or pig butchering.
Look, Sean didn't know me at all. Where did that unbearable come from? He doesn't know me. I have spent no time with him.
But he listens to you, apparently, enough.
I don't think, no, this was his first time calling, first time listening.
No, that was somebody else.
No, I feel I know you. Does that mean nothing?
Yeah, John Dogg feels like he knows you.
Well, John Dogg's an old friend. He did our theme song, Ken.
Yeah.
That guy, Sean, he's an idiot. I hate him.
Well, look, I think Sean was blessed with the kind of an excess of kind of confidence and authority. I your previous caller had that right, I think.
Take it up with Sean when you get home tonight.
Who do you think would win? Who do you think would win in a fight?
What kind of fight?
Like a fist fight.
A fist fight, closed fist, no gloves?
Yeah, maybe the next staff meeting will begin with me and Sean
duking it out. Boxing rules?
Yeah, boxing rules.
Okay.
Hang on. I'm not in this fight, am I?
Don't touch the fight.
No.
Don't touch the face. That's my impression of Ken in every fight he's ever in.
Eight rounds?
Not the face. That's you, Ken.
Well, look, okay. Mackin is my vote, guys, anyway.
Yeah, that's a great vote.
Thank you, John Dogg.
Yeah, thanks, John Dogg.
That's a good one.
That's a great one.
Although he mentioned Omega Man.
He did mention that one, Omega Man 2.
And I felt like the beginning of the lockdown.
Yeah, the lockdown made me remember that movie, Omega Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly
there were, right.
There were
I'll
deer,
tell you why.
Deer running through
the park
through
and
the
through
streets.
The Manhattan. Yeah, it seemed, a lot of Manhattan was just isolated, just completely empty.
Deer walking through
Jersey
City.
Yeah, exactly.
City.
It was kind of unworldly.
Hoboken.
Yeah,
nope,
I know.
Nobody was on the road.
I know. You could go out in the middle of the day. You see animals.
I was able to
Ken's
drive.
Ken's right. Are you listening to Ken? Can everybody hear what Ken is saying?
100
You're
miles.
Right, Ken, about that. The pandemic was very much like a Mega Man. Well put. 201-209-9368.
I can't imagine why anybody could describe you as unbearable. I mean, you're the opposite of unbearable.
What? I was agreeing with you. You made a lot of good points about Omega Man.
Hi, you're on the air.
Don't get Ken started on Omega Man.
Is it Sean?
Oh, God. Oh, I want Sean back so bad.
It's old Bernardo. Good old Bernardo.
Oh, it's Honest Bernardo. Bernardo from Argentina.
Well,
hi, Bernardo.
Are you calling from Argentina now? I'll tell you why I ask.
Yeah.
Well, the sound quality.
Collect. I called Collect yesterday. Can't accept it. So I don't want to.
Oh, you called Collect.
Bernardo, I can hardly hear you, so either talk closer to the mic or something.
Or just enjoy the moment. Let's just have a moment of silence.
I'm saying I called Collect even. Can't accept it.
I accept, Bernardo.
Bernardo, are you a science fiction movie buff?
Yeah, I love them.
Okay, and what science fiction movie got it right or got it completely wrong?
How about The Manchurian Candidate?
Oh, yeah.
But that was set in the 50s, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Well, that's not the new one, right? There's a newer one with Denzel.
Denzel.
Is that set in the future?
Well, that was that came out in 2004.
But wait, but that didn't predict anything. I mean, people get hypnotized. People have been abducted, right, and brainwashed.
Yeah, but they got turned into assassins. They got turned into sort of like robot assassins.
Well, I don't know. Well, you're saying that's an accurate prediction?
I'm not saying nothing. Honest Bernardo, do you think that have we had brainwashed assassins? People who would kill on command?
I don't know about assassins. I think we had some brainwashed politicians.
Yes, yes, yes. Did you hear what he said, Ken?
Yep.
Maybe you could learn a little something from Bernard.
What's it called? Applauster? Clapter.
Clapter.
Clapter, right. Thank you, Honest Bernardo.
Did you hear? Okay, you've given us a lot to think about.
Hi, you're on the air.
And for that, we will never forgive you.
Love the show.
Yeah, right.
I love you.
I love you, too.
This guy obviously
I love
has
you
not
more.
Been listening. Oh, shut up, both of you.
Is this sci-fi movies that predicted the future?
Kinda.
Sure.
Yeah, kinda.
Whatever you want, honey.
Aliens, hear me out.
No. That's an idea for the idea for another show.
Okay.
I wasn't. It's not a note. Wait, Aliens.
Alien 2.
What year was that set?
Maybe now. Maybe like 50 years from now.
And that's was that the James Cameron script?
Yeah.
Okay. And what did they get? Well, they got nothing. Point, they got nothing right. That was an interstellar.
That was 86.
But that was an interstellar cargo ship.
That was called Aliens.
Right.
Aliens.
But hear me out.
Just hear him out, Ken. Just let him talk.
I had the little girl.
Ken, let the man talk. He went to the trouble of calling.
Hiding in the ship.
Ken, he's a listener.
Okay.
And he deserves our respect.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Paul Reiser's suit, a men's businessman's suit, is exactly the same as it is now, save for a popped collar. Meaning men's fashion does not change.
Paul Reiser? Oh, yeah.
He must have been.
That's right. He was in it.
He must have been. I bet he was the heavy, the bad guy, right?
Yeah, probably.
Well,
but they predicted men's business fashion. It's never going to change.
You mean the men's business fashion? Oh, I see. You mean it was set 100 years in the future, but
they're still going to be wearing sport totes, but the only difference is the collar is going to be popped.
I see. Well, I guess we'll have to
Well, they predicted popped collars.
Well, but the coat itself, not the shirt underneath.
Well, fashion moves slowly.
Bit very
by
slowly
bit,
for men,
step
yeah.
by step.
They predicted aliens popping out of your chest.
Popped
while you're,
collars
while
ain't
you're
nothing.
Lunch.
And that giant robot suit that Sigourney Weaver dons.
Well, history does rhyme.
Yeah.
History does rhyme.
All right, thank you, Sean.
Can I go home now?
You may not.
What if Annie calls back and says you can go home?
Then you can go home. Hi, you're on the air.
Yo, how's it going?
Good, now that you've called.
Awesome. Sci-fi movies that predicted the future.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. That's what we're looking for.
Have you ever heard of Technolust?
Technolust. No, but I want
Tilda
to.
Tilda Swinton?
Swinton?
She programs like a computer viruses.
Oh, yeah.
That are like STDs. I feel like with all the AI girlfriend stuff happening and like, I don't know, we're very close to that.
So that came out in 2002 and man, she plays four different roles in it. I want to see this. I like,
it's a cool movie.
Yeah. Technolust.
Yeah. And reviews. And then I don't know if you
and
guys
it, and
it
predicts
a late, but Idiocracy. I feel like,
Oh my God. Idiocracy, of course. But Idiocracy got it wrong in that we're living Idiocracy now.
Yeah, we are exactly. But I mean, that was what, like 20 years in the future? But
no, Idiocracy was like hundreds of years in the future.
Right. Yeah, it came early.
What year was Idiocracy supposed to be? It was like really way, way off. I can't even remember. I thought I had it on my list here, but it's not here.
Yeah, but even the president-elect is like, you know, just a media icon. But it's very, like, even down to the Crocs. They're wearing Crocs, and everybody wears Crocs now. And they did that as like an idea of like...
I'm sorry, what's going on? I tuned out for a minute. What's going on now?
We're talking about Idiocracy.
Okay, what year was that set in? Oh, wait, got to go.
Distant future. Thank you, Sean.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
All right, yeah.
Good luck with the Sheaves tour.
How was that show?
What show?
The show we just did.
Well, you were checked out pretty much the whole time.
Well, hold on.
You got a couple of calls from CBS.
Give me 1 second.
And you refused to take them on the air. But I do want to see the movie Technolust. That's my big takeaway. Very excited to see it. Tilda Swinton plays 4 different roles.
And, so you know it's good. Hey, we're looking for people. I'm going to be missing a few shows. I'm going to be out of town. But we'd like to pre-record some quizzes. You can quiz us on any topic.
As long as you're passionate about it.
As long as you know something about it. And contact Ken at WFMU.org.
Could be about movies.
Yeah.
Music.
Yeah.
Those are 2 topics that Andy and I know something about.
Well, but I'd rather it should be something you're passionate about.
Yeah, but it could be about anything. We've had quizzes in the past about economics.
That's right. Vintage comic books.
Vintage comic books. What else? Jeez, man. Pornography, the history of pornography.
Who's been winning those quizzes? Who's been? Have you been keeping score?
No, I haven't been keeping score.
I think it's me.
And this is WFMU East Orange.
And this is the unbearable WFMU Mount Hope.
WMFU Mount Hope.
Oh, yeah, MFU Mount Hope.
In New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And online at WFMU.org.
Do we know Sean's last name?
Urbaniak, I believe. Urbaniak.
It kind of stings.
Yeah.
Being called unbearable like that.
From Westfield, New Jersey. Weekly World Blues is coming up. Be sure to stay tuned for that. And if you can give us a quiz, because Andy's going to be out of town on his big CBS TV show, Einstein, starring Matthew Goobler. And if you're wondering who Matthew Goobler is, he played Simon in all 3 Chipmunks remakes.
We couldn't afford Alvin.
No, you couldn't afford Alvin or even Theodore. You had to go for Simon, the worst chipmunk.
Shut up.
Email me if you can give us a quiz at ken@wfmu.org.
Maybe someone will quiz us on male models.
That would be cool.
Or maybe about Susan George.
You ever see Triangle of Sadness?
Yes.
Did you like it? That was kind of about male models in a way. Had that big male model scene.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Did I like that movie?
I don't think you would like that movie.
No, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't think you did. I liked it.
The only reason I didn't like it was because it was stupid.
It wasn't stupid.
I'm talking about Triangle of Sadness.
No, it wasn't stupid at all.
I'm talking about that stupid
version. Yeah, they get stranded on an island.
Yeah.
And the woman who knows how to hunt abalones, she becomes like the captain of the island.
Yeah, no, that wasn't stupid at all.
Hey, stay tuned for Weekly World Blues.
Sound of the blues scale. The blues scale is very simple, very useful, but also very simple to build. All you have to do is know your minor pentatonic scales. So in this case, I was playing A.
The blues come so many different ways until it's kind of hard to explain.
Thank you.